Like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield.
The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
You're listening to The Talk, talk radio for the masses, here on WTBR FM 89.7. And now, let's talk.
Never turns it down.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve, everybody.
I should have brought the other opening.
Stuffed that turkey.
I should have. Seeing it's Thanksgiving, is such a joyous occasion.
Yes.
We like to bring somebody to the stage. The person you may know, and I may know, and see and hear, Mr. John Lennon.
Yes.
From the Elton John concert in 1974.
Yeah. Or as my tradition goes in the States,
Garfield.
What? So, you can't go wrong. What's the name song to Garfield's Thanksgiving?
So here we are on Thanksgiving Eve. The big day is tomorrow.
Right. Yes.
What we got planned for, because you wanted to talk about Thanksgiving, so.
The fact that, you know, I have the fun time.
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
That's tomorrow. I'm talking about today.
Oh.
Today, later when I go home.
When you leave the studio at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, we have a long day because we're doing, we got this show to do, we're doing Carol's show. So.
Well, of course.
All in one day.
Yeah, but I still have a lot of preparations to do.
Yeah, because you do the pies ahead of time. So that way.
They're already done. They were done bright and early this morning.
Yep. And pies are ready.
I still got to go and help your sister because she wants to do
the yams
and everything and get stuff
done.
Okay,
so my main question is anybody take out the guest of honor?
Guest of honor is
obviously
in the fridge, was taken out on Monday.
It lives on the second
shelf and it's been defrosted on and off.
Because if not, we're going to have to go catch some pigeons.
Oh, no.
Do
yum,
yourself
yum,
a favor.
Turkey on a stick.
What?
Leave the bird when it comes to frosting to me. Don't worry about it. When I try and I tell you, hey, come and get this sucker and start cooking it, then that's your cue. Got it.
That'll be tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Bright early every year.
Yeah, you too, Mr. Miss I butter the turkey's butt.
I don't butter the butt. I butter its front.
She takes care of the breasts and the wings and all the good stuff.
Yes. You don't butter the butt. The butt is gauche.
If you forget
hopefully this year the butt won't fall off.
Here's the thing. You have to remember one thing. Take the heart out and take the giblets, because if you don't, it can explode.
Yeah, and she's not kidding. The pressure can build up and then it can...
You've seen Christmas Vacation?
A couple times.
You've seen how the turkey employs itself?
Chevy Chase.
That is an actual thing. If you over roast and don't take the giblets and the heart out. That is an actual thing that can happen.
Now that you mentioned Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo.
Yes.
For our listeners out there, the little kid Russ, you want to guess who that is played by?
You watched the show too, Miss Carol.
from Big Johnny Galecki. Oh,
Big Bang.
From Big Bang Theory. And Leonard. Roseanne. The one played Leonard on Big Bang Theory and David on Roseanne. That's little Johnny Galecki that plays Russ in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
He's about 10 or 11 years old. About 10. Because he's really, really tiny.
Oh, here's something.
And his hair is actually almost perfect.
Here's some breaking news. I read this on social media over the weekend.
You can read?
Kind of. Tim Allen wants to reboot Home Improvement.
Oh, brother.
He's already got a name for it.
Oh, yeah?
Home Re-Improvement.
Re-Improvement. Nice. I mean, I know they were.
I know he's doing the Santa Clauses things.
Yeah, I know
that series. But he's come out and said that he's getting the fire started and to reboot Home Improvement.
I thought he already started those fires
during the
Last Man
during the last season of Last Man Standing. That's what got it together. Because if you watch Last Man Standing throughout the series,
you had
Patricia Richardson on there. You've had. Richard Karn was on there. JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, was on there.
You had the guy that ran
the hardware store, Harry.
That played Harry.
Harry, he was on there. And you even had.
Chuck Larrabee.
Chuck doing the.
Wilson
thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because that's the only one you're not getting
like
back.
Like Richard Karn on one of the episodes goes, "Didn't you have three boys?"
Yeah.
Or three boys.
Yeah.
Did you remember three boys.
Yes.
Oh, no, he goes, "How are three boys?" And then it's three girls.
It's three girls.
I remember being three boys.
In the episode with Patricia Richardson, who played their neighbor.
Yeah, neighbor Helen.
When neighbor Helen Potts and Tim came over. And she would go, my husband always used to try to juice things up with extra power. And he burnt down, he used a waffle iron, burnt down the kitchen. Then we went through that for 8 years, and that was going back to Home Improvement.
Yes, especially the more power grunting joke.
And then the one episode where she comes out and goes, I'm gonna have dinner with my son, and her son was none other than Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yes. And also the one time on a few episodes, I think it was at least one episode, Vanessa went ahead and hired a handyman to fix the garbage disposal. The handyman turned out to be
Tim Allen.
Yep, Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor. That was the first time. What was that one episode where, not Mandy. Kristen is working for that restaurant, and JTT is the manager.
Yes.
And Tim comes in and goes, "You look oddly familiar."
You look oddly familiar, and I wouldn't mind calling you son.
So, yep. So the reboot of
Home Improvement
may be inevitable.
I can see it happening.
Just through the whole seasons of Tool Time, there's always been Last Man Standing has always been referred to. There's always been references to Tool Time.
Yes. And then,
there's also references to his movies, too.
Yeah, to the Santa Claus and Toy Story.
Yeah, well, there was, that one episode where I guess Chuck and Tim were talking, and Tim goes, "I'm not going to play Santa Claus."
Yeah, and because Chuck wanted to go ahead and play Santa Claus. And Tim sits there and goes, "You can't make me go ahead and play Santa Claus. Santa Claus, I've been in that suit too many darn times."
Yep, and then there's one episode with Ryan at the pot shop, and one of the pot strains was Buzz Lightyear.
Yes, it was Lightyear.
And Tim walks in and goes, "Is nothing sacred?"
Yes.
So a lot of references to his movies and to Home Improvement and to Santa Claus.
And also another one, it was the girls were looking for one of the movies in Mike's den to go ahead and watch. And Eve sits there and goes, I didn't really find anything except Toy Story 3. This is when Toy Story 3 was she's in there, she goes, "Although I don't know how Dad was able to get an advanced copy of this."
And if you go back to Home Improvement, there was a couple of episodes where they threw in the movies, because you got the one episode where Tim's going, I'm Buzz Lightyear. No, I'm Buzz Lightyear. No, I'm Buzz Lightyear.
Yes, he argued. Yeah, he argues with the Buzz Lightyear.
And then you got the one with JTT when the two girls.
The same episode.
The two girls are playing with the Lion King toys. And JTT goes, that's not how the roar sounds.
It was Tim, because he was babysitting his nieces. And he sits there, he picks up the Simba and goes ahead and sits there and goes, rawr, rawr. And he sits there and goes, no, that's not how a lion roars. And it was JTT talking to Tim. He sits there and goes, no, that's not how a lion roars. That's not how a lion sounds. And Tim goes, what do you know about voicing a lion? And he just sits there and goes, like, really? Really?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who voiced young Simba in the animated version of The Lion King. Which episode did we forget? We're always forgetting something.
It was on Home Improvement, and it happened to have been
Halloween, where the little kid was, one kid was dressed up as Buzz Lightyear, and the other little kid was dressed up as Simba. And
JTT answers the door.
Yeah, and gives out the candy.
He has the candy in his hand. He goes,
one candy bar for the Space Ranger, and two for the cute lion. Yes, and two for the cute lion cub.
Yep. That's all he kept going.
So the other thing we wanted to cover, because over the weekend we watched for like the 15th time. James Cameron's Titanic.
Yeah.
For the upteenth time.
And hey, why not?
There are some things in this movie
that don't add up.
That never really happened in 1912.
Yes, they don't.
And there's
add
some
up
things they don't bring up.
Yes.
First thing that they don't bring up, and we've covered this when this was a ham radio show.
Yes.
Is that when the Titanic was actually putting out the SOS responses, because amateur radio at the time was not regulated.
No.
Everybody was on the air.
Everybody.
And nobody heard the SOS calls coming from the Titanic.
Nobody did.
It took one guy, I think, up in Canada somewhere, a couple hours after the fact, that he heard the SOS.
Yeah, you're right. It's Nova Scotia.
The SOS calls from the Titanic.
Yeah.
This led to the Telecommunications Act of 1912. And what the Telecommunications Act of 1912 put out is, now you have to be licensed, and now you have to give the frequency up for emergency SOS calls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that was never brought up in the movie.
And that was not something I needed to be taught either.
Well,
when I got mine.
Yeah. And that's why everybody's licensed, and you have to do your little breaks there in case somebody's trying to get in, because back then when all that was happening with the Titanic, nobody heard the distress calls coming in.
No, because you couldn't get a word in edgewise. It was just constant chatter over the radio at that time.
The footage in the beginning of the movie is actual footage when James Cameron went down there six times to view the Titanic and take some footage for the movie.
Yes.
So that's from his footage from the movie.
Yeah. He was in the sub, in the mini sub.
Yeah.
Six times he went down there and recorded footage just to make this movie.
Yes.
Now the other thing in the movie is in the end when the ship is sinking, number one, the ship does not break apart during the sinking.
No.
The people that went down there in the first voyage in 1983 that viewed the wreckage of the Titanic saw the debris field from the stern. And the debris field is closer to the stern of the ship than it would have been if Titanic actually broke up on the ocean surface before they sank. So it sank in one piece.
Yeah.
And then as it was... when it hit the bottom, it broke apart.
Yeah.
Part two of this is the back end never went 180 degrees in the air.
No.
The back end went like 30 degrees in the air.
Well,
but being Hollywood and have to add a little dramatics to it.
Yeah, just as the guy said during the movie when he was sitting there, just for dramatic purposes. Then she turned around and she goes, thank you for that wonderful description.
Yeah.
And they when they actually did the the hearings, they had hearings in Nova Scotia and they had hearings here in U.S. Congress about the sinking of the Titanic.
Yeah.
What they came up with, that if Titanic had hit the iceberg head on, she would have still been afloat.
Yeah.
Because it would have broke the iceberg up.
Right.
Instead of making that hard turn to the left to try to avoid the iceberg and then hitting it.
Yeah, because when they made that hard turn, they ripped the whole entire hull below the waterline.
Right.
If they had just hit it head on, they would have just impacted the front end.
The front end would have cut right through it. Because the ship was made of iron, the front end would have cut right through.
Yeah, well, it's
that iceberg, and they would have made it to New York City instead of sitting in the bottom of the North Atlantic.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. What can you say? I mean, give me a break. You know, they weren't too bright.
And I read, I found some things online about the actual ships after the fact that came in and scooped the bodies out of the North Atlantic. There was one ship that came up with 1,000 or 500 or 800, something like that, body bags and coffins. And it was her sister ship right after what happened.
Yes.
And they had to stop when they ran out of body bags and coffins.
Yeah.
They pulled the last guy up. I think it was the captain. They pulled the last guy up like 2 months later out of the North Atlantic.
Yeah.
There are every ship that they could ever find. There were cruise ships and Navy ships and trawling vessels and fishing ships that were coming in and pulling bodies out of the North Atlantic for weeks and days and weeks after the Titanic sank.
Yeah. There is one episode of Ghost Adventures where they are they have some of the parts that is in the recreation of the Titanic of some of the parts.
Oh, into when they a went hotel to the when they went
when
to
they
the
go
museum.
To the museum, and that is very, very, very haunted. Has a small child, and she puts her hands up on the glass. They found that to be true. Several of the adults are there. Because of the fact that it did grab the essence of their bodies at the time, and they do have several, I mean, they have multiple things.
Think about, Mom, think about it as one of the most traumatic things
in
to experience. It's one of the most traumatic deaths to experience.
Yeah.
2,000 some odd souls on board the Titanic, and I think 600 of them survived. Something like that?
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that.
I think
it was like
325.
325 survived out of 2,000 something souls on board the Titanic.
Yes.
And here's what they're saying now, that in 10 years, because of the rate that the ocean is eating away at the Titanic, that in 10 years it will no longer be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So the memories. And
any thoughts of raising it at this point
is lost.
Is a mute point.
And they've had thoughts of raising it. I mean, when they first found it, the first expedition found the Titanic in 1983. That was 75 years after the sinking of the ship.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to figure out how to raise it. They almost raised part of it, and a big part of the hull came apart as they were raising it. That's in the museum. But the geologists or oceanographers or whoever handles that said in about 10 years that the remains of the Titanic will be gone.
And here's the thing. She was doomed from the start.
Yeah, let's talk about the fact that she's right. She was doomed from the start. That's some crazy history. Now, in naval history, when you christen the ship
with
The champagne bottle is supposed to break. Yes. When they christened the Titanic, the champagne bottle didn't break.
No, it bounced.
And that's old lore that if the champagne bottle doesn't break during the christening, your ship is doomed.
The bottle refused to break.
There were people.
It took them, three times to break the bottle?
Yeah.
Honor?
There were people that died actually during building the Titanic.
Yes.
There was somebody got crushed by
by one of the pistons.
By one of the pistons putting the boilers in. There were people who died when they were riveting the ship together.
Yes.
There, one of the carpenters went ahead and died after putting in the grand staircase. They went to go finish one of the cherubs. The reason why one of the cherubs is different from the other. As they were finishing the cherub, the carpenter had a heart attack.
I mean, James Cameron did good when he made the movie. It's a classic movie from 1993. You see how young Kate Winslet is and Leo.
Yes.
We won't talk about Leo.
I mean, look at Leo now. He's aged like milk.
He looks Leo like that 30 years a bad road hit him.
That poor man had what was known as the Academy Award curse. He didn't end up with a statue until, almost about 4 years ago.
Yeah, now let's take this thing, about Jack Dawson.
And he's been nominated too many times?
And it was mentioned in the film by the elderly lady who played Rose.
Yes.
Said that there's no mention of him anywhere on the manifest and no records of him. What are the chances that there really was a Jack Dawson?
Yeah.
On board the Titanic.
I mean, if you wanted to go there, according to the movie, he won the ticket playing Poe. He won the ticket playing Poe.
So the ticket
Ireland,
would have been somebody else's name.
Exactly. The tickets would have been registered in somebody else's name. In order to board the ship at the time, all you needed was a ticket.
Exactly.
So, they went by whatever name was on the ticket.
And I want to put out there that when James Cameron was thinking about doing the film, he did go to whatever survivors of the Titanic that were still alive to get their stories to add into the thing. And I think, if I remember, we have no more survivors of the Titanic.
I believe the last survivor to run died of the age of 89. Actually, it was the granddaughter or something like that just passed away or something.
Yeah.
I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
Of the actual blood descendant, they said. Yes. And also
another fact that nobody brings up. Most of the people that died on the Titanic, they were poor.
Yeah, because...
they were poor. Because...
they were down in steerage.
Yeah. Because the first clan, they wanted to evacuate the first class first. Because they were more money. Yes. They were more valuable than people that had kids. That was also another thing. If you had kids,
you went on.
You were lucky enough to go ahead to get on.
And Jesse had brought up a question over the weekend when we watched the movie about the lifeboats. And how come there wasn't enough lifeboats for 2,000 people?
No, there wasn't.
Number one, the Titanic was put out as a unsinkable ship.
Yes.
Number two, the maritime laws in 1912 stated that every ship needs a minimum number of lifeboats.
Yes.
And unlike where it says in the movie where they talk about that the company didn't like the extra lifeboats, it's true. They only used the minimum number of lifeboats.
Yes.
That they had because, to, by law, to launch the boat.
Because they deemed it as looking too crowded and too tacky.
Right. Each lifeboat could hold 65 people. They were
only half loading them.
They were only like 20 lifeboats on Titanic for 2,000 people.
Yes. And they were only loading, and they were only loading them, the lifeboat, half, not halfway, three quarters way. They weren't filling them all to capacity.
Yeah.
Because it was deemed an unsinkable ship.
Yeah.
So they, you know, the minimum number of lifeboats that you could have to be able to launch the ship out of England, because it launched from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, her port was Liverpool.
It was going to
and the
America.
And the irony of this, what was the first ship to come scoop bodies out of the North Atlantic?
Oh, God.
Their sister ship.
The sister ship, the Cathapeum, was the ship on scene to scoop the bodies out of the North Atlantic after Titanic sunk.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Isn't that irony?
It is irony.
And that ship was built before Titanic and has already done four or five voyages before while they were building Titanic.
And
they had to come scoop bodies out of the North Atlantic.
Yeah.
That the wildlife didn't get.
It's kind of stupid.
That's true. And also another thing that people don't get, how her chambers were set up. This ship was built like a ice cube tray.
Yeah.
It's built over and filled the other compartment.
Right. Exactly. The ship could survive, according to the records and according to the James Cameron film, the ship wouldn't have sunk. It could survive the first five compartments.
Yes.
Filled with water.
Yes.
Ship would be good. When you get to that sixth compartment, which was about midship, that was the doom.
That was the doom.
And the hole that was ripped in the side of the Titanic, underneath the water line by the iceberg, that whole front end, right to that fifth compartment, is what was ripped open by the iceberg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, everyone was kind of like SOL.
Pretty much. Let's just put it this way. I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but the rats were deserting the ship long before the people went ahead and realized that they were doomed.
Yeah! The rats are like,
They were told nothing to worry about, go back to your cabin. Not even kidding. They were told, don't worry about it, go back to your cabin.
And we really don't know how much truth, because we don't have James Cameron here to ask him, but we don't know how much truth in the fact that they fired all five boilers up to try to make time to get to New York earlier than they planned.
No, that is actually documented. That is documented that they went ahead and fired up the boilers.
From the surviving crew.
It was before impact.
Oh, yes,
They put it through... Because the press was on.
The press was on them to make.
No, the press was on the ship. They wanted to show off. They wanted to show off what, quote unquote, what she can do.
Yes.
Yeah, now she's sitting on the bottom of the North Atlantic for 185 years.
Yeah.
There's what she can do. Yeah. Rotting away down at the bottom of the North Atlantic.
Yeah, and wasn't it because they had
300 miles east of Boston.
Wasn't it because they had the keys to the binoculars?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the key. Okay.
We gotta go. Time flies. But she's 300 miles northeast of Boston.
Yes.
Between Nova Scotia and Boston. Yeah. That's where she's sitting in the North Atlantic. So happy Thanksgiving from the cast
happy
and crew here.
Happy Thanksgiving.
The talk. And we'll be back next week.
Yes, we will. Bye.
We learned from it.